Well, good evening. It's good to see Don here. We see Cliff Munch sometimes, but since the operation, we haven't seen Don very much. It's good that you're feeling well enough to be here. And I see our visitors from Alabama. I know they were Floridians first. I know that, and I don't know why Lee chased them off, but they're down there in Alabama. We're happy that you're here this evening. Actually, I think Alabama is quite an attractive state. I've been there. Didn't stay, though. I'm just teasing. As this morning, I promise we're going to speak on the gospel. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, we read, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand." The word gospel is familiar, isn't it? We hear that a lot. There's gospel music. There's gospel literature. See, what else is there that we use gospel with? Gospel music, gospel literature. What else did I write here? I can't find it. We associate gospel with many things, don't we? That word gospel. You know, actually the word gospel means good news. For example, if I came home from the doctor, I could say to my wife, I have a good gospel today. My doctor said I was fine. Technically, according to the meaning of that word, that's correct. I had good news from the doctor. But it's interesting, that word gospel, which means good news, glad tidings, and a good message. Well, isn't it amazing we use it mostly only for religious purposes today? And I don't know if you ever noticed this. Muslims, they don't preach a gospel. Never heard of the gospel according to Muhammad. Or, for that matter, any other religion. It is mostly used, and maybe completely used, for Christianity. I don't know if you knew that. But it's the New Testament message that is the gospel. The good news. And so I guess that makes Christianity, the good news religion. Oh yeah, I have gospel meetings. That's the other word I was trying to think of. Gospel meetings. When actually, what do we mean by those things? We have either Christian or religious material, literature, Christian or religious meetings. We like to use that word gospel. But what exactly does the word gospel mean? According to the New Testament. What is it that is such good news that Christianity brings that we are the only religion that brings a gospel? You know, that word gospel in the New Testament is used 101 times. Does anyone know how often it's used in the Old Testament? None. That word gospel is not used in the Old Testament. So that makes the New Testament the good news doctrine. Very often, the world thinks of gospel in the form of Christianity. When someone mentions gospel, they do think of Christianity. 101 times. Most of the times that word is used, it stands alone. Of course, that means the other times, I think it was 59 times from the 101 times, it stands alone in the gospel. That means the other times that it either has an adjective or a prepositional phrase that explains it or focuses it. But 59 times, the word gospel stands alone, as in our reading that we had from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. So what is the gospel? Well, 11, let me back up, 7 times in the New Testament, the Bible talks of the gospel of God. Interesting. 11 times. I cannot count today or read, can I? Yes, right, 11 times. 11. I've got my glasses fixed and I still can't see. 11 times the New Testament refers to the gospel of Christ. As a matter of fact, the gospel of Mark starts off its gospel in this way. Verse 1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Mark starts right off and says, this letter or this book that I'm writing is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. So 11 times the New Testament specifically calls the gospel or the good news Jesus Christ. 4 times in the New Testament, the gospel refers to the gospel of the kingdom. In Acts 20:24, it speaks of the gospel of grace. In Romans 10:15, it speaks of the gospel of peace. In Ephesians 1:13, it speaks of the gospel of our salvation. But none of these alone is the gospel. As a matter of fact, altogether, there's still a little bit more to the gospel than these things. The complete message, which is the gospel, is all of these combined plus much more. 3 times Paul even says, I have preached my gospel, meaning he preached the gospel that was given to him by the Lord. As I was studying the meaning of the gospel, the thing that struck me most is what the gospel was not. It's interesting. That's my favorite word today. That's interesting. Kind of like Spock. I never came across the gospel of the Holy Spirit. Not once is that mentioned in the New Testament. It is called the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, but never will you find in the New Testament a scripture that talks about the gospel of the Holy Spirit. Now, I personally believe that God conceived of the gospel. Jesus accomplished it, but it's the Holy Spirit that has revealed it to us through the apostles and other writers of the New Testament. But the Bible never speaks of the gospel of the Holy Spirit. If a person, though, didn't know better, and he listened particularly to the modern televangelist, he would think, is there anything else but the gospel of the Holy Spirit? But please note, the Bible never mentioned it. I don't mean to downplay the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has an important role in the gospel that was given in the Bible. The Holy Spirit has an important role in the spreading of the gospel. But there is never a mention of the gospel of the Holy Spirit. We preachers need to learn to keep a biblical perspective. We're not allowed to add to the Bible or take away from the Bible. We have to learn to preach and teach what is there. And many preachers in this modern America on television and radio need to learn that lesson. If a historian were to write a book, a historical book, on 20th century America, and if all they concentrated on were World War II and the influences of World War II, would that be a true book over 20th century America? It played a very strong, influential part of 20th century. But that alone is not the 20th century history completely. And that is what happens when we name things the gospel that the Bible has not named as gospel. We concentrate on something and blow it up, and it shouldn't be. The Holy Spirit is important. But it's interesting, my word again, when Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will bring what? Remembrance of the Holy Spirit? Of what Jesus had taught. And where did Jesus get what he taught? From the Father. So the Holy Spirit would never draw attention to himself. He would draw attention to what Jesus Christ had done and fulfilled. And so the gospel is about what Jesus has accomplished according to the Father's will. But it's also interesting. There is no such thing as the gospel of miracles and healing. These things played an important role in the New Testament. But even Paul had to complain to the Corinthians, you put too much stress on these things. Now, of course, he wrote Timothy because Timothy was ignoring the gift that he had been given. It plays a part of the gospel. But when these things are made the pinnacle, when these things are made the most important part of the gospel, then what is being taught has been blown out of proportion and is not the gospel. And I had a friend when I lived in Memphis, way back before I ever went to Germany. I was attending Harding Graduate School of Religion, working at Federal Express to earn money so I could go to Harding Graduate School. Of course, I was always so tired I couldn't concentrate on schoolwork, working all night. But there was a young man that worked with me. He was Pentecostal. And in talking with this man, because we would get off work like about 4 in the morning, and we would go to a restaurant that was open 24 hours, and we'd eat breakfast together. And he was worried. He says, I haven't talked in tongues. I haven't spoken in tongues. He goes, I've attended class on how to speak in tongues. He goes, I've been learning the proper words for speaking in tongues. I've been learning how it should happen. But the Holy Spirit just hasn't moved me to speak in tongues. Can you imagine that, teaching a class on how to speak in tongues when the New Testament says the Spirit gives you that gift. Either you have it or you don't. But he was worried because he had been taught, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not confirmed into the church. You're not confirmed Christian. You have to speak in tongues. And that's why he was so worried. He had been baptized, but he hadn't spoken in tongues. Is that not blowing the gospel out of proportion? Making the gospel something that God didn't make it? And that young man, I don't know if he ever ended up speaking in tongues or not, but he was worried about it for months. Worried about it so much that it literally made him sick. He had ulcers. But I find that interesting. Particularly because when Paul talked about gifts, he listed a gift that he thought more important than speaking in tongues. The gift of prophecy. Because he said the gift of prophecy helps the church. Where speaking in tongues helps those who do not yet believe. And so he said for the church, the more important gift is prophecy. But then he even listed a more perfect way. Love. So what is the gospel? I mentioned some things that it is not. And I'm going to mention one more thing that it's not. Just crossed my mind. When we listen to many modern preachers today, also, we are taught and we learn prosperity. The gospel is prosperity. If God wants you to be wealthy, He wants you to have a lot, and if you have trust and faith, you will attain many material things. And of course, the thought is, if you don't have many material things, what? Yeah. So the gospel is not the gospel of prosperity. So here are some things the New Testament is not. So what is meant in the New Testament when it speaks about the gospel? Well, let's turn to Galatians 3 and verse 8. But before we do that, let's read once again in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, 2 and 3. Verse 2 and verse 3 in 1 Corinthians 15. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. See, the emphasis of the gospel is on what Jesus has done according to the will of the Father upon this earth for mankind. Now we can turn to Galatians 3:8. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, we read, "The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you." That is the good news. You see, by the time of Abraham, the world was in sad shape. Sin abounded. People were lost and were not worshiping the one true God. Even Abraham's fathers, his father and his grandfather, had worshipped false gods. But God called Abraham, and this promise went to Abraham, "I will bless all nations through you, through your seed." That's the good news. God was going to bless the world through the seed of Abraham. And this morning, who did we say the seed of Abraham was? Jesus Christ. He was going to be the blessing. He was the good news. So to speak, he was the gospel message that God was going to send. That is about it. That sums up what the gospel is. When you put it all together, the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of grace, the gospel of peace, the gospel of salvation, is also known as the glorious gospel, the everlasting gospel, and all of these other terms that the Holy Spirit used to describe the gospel is summed up in that idea. God is going to bless all mankind through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ. According to the Word of God, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 puts it this way, "There is no one righteous, no, not one." All of us stand in need of salvation. All of us need the gospel, the good news that God promised Abraham. And the message of that salvation plan is good news. The exception is for those who don't believe. The exception is also for those who refuse to understand their spiritual lostness before God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that He was buried, that He was raised, and on the third day, according to Scriptures." And He rose from the dead, as promised. That was the good news. It was for us. And that's it. That is the blessing that God wanted to give the world that He had promised Abraham so many years before. That His seed would be flesh. The Christ would die for our sins. He would be buried and He would be resurrected on the third day for us. Let me read Romans 5:6-11. Romans 5:6-11. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We were hopelessly lost. We were damned. We were to be punished in eternity along with Satan and the angels that followed after him. Not what God wanted, but what we deserved. We were undeserving. And God sent Jesus into the world. He sent Him in the world so that He could save us. And that is what Jesus did according to the will of His Father. He came to fulfill the promise to Abraham that all mankind would be blessed through His seed. But there's one more passage I'd like to look at this evening where the word gospel appears. It's in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Jesus said to His followers, "Go everywhere in the world and tell the good news, the gospel, to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who does not believe will be punished." Jesus wants the good news preached, proclaimed, and heralded throughout the entire world. That's what we have been called to do. The Bible teaches those who believe this message of Jesus Christ, who understands their lostness before the God, will be saved through baptism. Of course, those who don't believe, well, it's not such a gospel, is it? But anyone who does not believe will be punished. The rejection of Jesus only brings destruction and damnation. Have you believed the gospel? Have you told the gospel to others? Have you been baptized into Jesus Christ? What better time than this evening? God calls. He calls us through Jesus, and He calls us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the message. He is the salvation. He is the antidote to sin. Won't you come this evening and partake of the antidote before it's too late?